535th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Generinos. Welcome to episode 535 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one is going out to our friend, Stephen Asplund, a friend of the podcast, fighter who will be fighting on the card we are talking about today. Maybe we'll talk about his fight briefly. He's on the prelims. That would be LFA 181. So this goes out to Stephen Asplund. Hopefully you are listening. Thank you for coming to the show. Thank you for listening and watching. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. We have an LFA event to cover. As I mentioned, LFA 181 is going down this weekend, this Friday, actually. This is, we did a PFL yesterday's episode, Thursday. That one's going down. This one's going down Friday. And then tomorrow, yes, we are doing another Tuesday episode. Tomorrow, we are covering Cage Wars, which is going down on Saturday before the UFC. So, and then we'll be covering the UFC. So we got you covered, is what I'm trying to say. You don't need to go anywhere else. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're not already, and subscribe from all your burner accounts as well, for the best grandma content around. And if you want to learn how to make cocaine, we're the spot for that as well. And there was one other thing. My co-host might remember. Let's bring my co-host in. Daniel Gumby Vreeland, hello. What's the other thing we're known for on YouTube?
Just for the record, so everybody gets this reference and it doesn't start to get real weird in here. Those were weird search terms that for some reason our videos came up. And the other one was canned tuna recipes.
Right, yes. The grandma thing was legit, though. We did post.
The grandma thing was, we put grandma content out. But like the canned tuna recipes and the stuff about narcotics, not us. Now, that being said, I did want to give the shout out to Stephen Asplund, who once called us out for telling him he was a fatty. He watched our show, told us he used to be a fatty, which was then true. Yep. He's lost an insane amount of weight, and he's slowly become a Discord favorite, because who doesn't love a heavyweight with fast hands? Because that's the craziest thing, is he's very fast now, insanely fast. So yeah, I'm looking forward to his fight on these prelims. Would have liked to probably squeeze. I mean, just when his number comes in, play that number, because he's going to win that fight. And shout out to him. Also, this prelim's got a couple of names on him that you probably would recognize from before, because Colton Sneave is fighting too. Remember Colton Sneave
that we talked about? That's a great name.
Yeah, and he was fun and exciting.
Too, by the way, so thank you.
Yeah. And he was fun and exciting and coming off of a win. So Colton Sneave, Steve Asplund, yeah, good prelims on this in addition to already a I mean, I like this main card quite a bit.
Oh, good. Good to hear. Maybe before we jump into that, let's talk about what was had the Discord a buzz on the weekend, which was LFA 180's main event. It even caused me to call it up on UFC Fight Pass and watch it. What a banger between Lance Lawrence and Landry Ward, right?
Landry Ward just is in those fights every single time. And
he's
the
a
best
zombie
part,
in there. Just kept
the
eating.
Best part about it is he looks like a guy who would be in those types of fights every time, too. Like, true. He's tall, wiry, has a mullet. Like, he's just built for those kinds of fights. Now, the sort of upsetting thing about this, though, is I thought, you know, if you asked me two fights ago, is Landry Ward like a UFC prospect? I'm pretty sure I even said it on this show when I broke down his first main event. Is I was like, this is a guy really close to the UFC. And sort of this like reckless abandon he brings to his fights is wildly entertaining to watch, but I think is also sort of costing him his ceiling. And now he's like losing fights to people he probably shouldn't. Cause like, you know, I picked him this weekend. I did go 3-2. But I did pick him this weekend, and it was one of the ones I missed because he's got a lot of skills, and it just seems like his willingness to get hit is going to catch up on, or already has caught up on him. He's too hard to knock out. Like, you can't put him away with those shots. but he is sort of just taking so much damage that it's hurting his own output. So, yeah, kind of disappointing, but at the same time, the fight certainly was not disappointing to watch. That was a very fun fight.
Yeah, he definitely won the third round, despite what one of the judges said. He was destroying that leg on Lawrence. So, yeah. Yeah, very, very entertaining fight. Michael Chiesa was yelling so much, he was losing his voice. So, the rest of the card, you said you went 3-2 on it? The parishes let you down, right?
No, what I picked against one you of those one. Parishes. Right. But yeah, big tuna looked big bad.
Big tuna looked big bad. There's a good title. Big bad. All right, I have Asplin in capital letters because you wanted to make sure we talked about him, and you did.
Yeah.
So that is taken care of. Also, make sure, especially this time of season, with the madness in the air, make sure you are watching, subscribing, listening to our flagship show, Sports Gambling Podcast, it is called. Imagine that. Hosted by our bosses, Ryan and Sean. They cover every sport, but this year they really zone in on college basketball, and they've been picking against the spread NCAA tournament games since 2012. And of course, if college basketball is your thing, you got to subscribe, watch, listen to the College Basketball Experience with Colby Dant. You may know him as Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and the producer, Noah B. They have unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. So make sure you subscribe to both those shows on your podcast catcher of choice. All right, we'll move on from Big Tuna Look Big Bad, and we'll jump into this card that Gumby is excited about, which is good. Good when Gumby is excited about it.
This first fight is dedicated to Crunch, by the way.
Oh, good. We're doing a Crunch fight. Crunch, one of our
he's going to love it.
Discord. All right. LFA 181, Harris versus Hernandez, Prior Lake, Minnesota, this Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern. This is going to be a late night. Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. We've talked about this place many times before, haven't we? In Prior Lake, Minnesota. I always ask.
No, I haven't been there, but they do really like this arena, apparently.
Yep. This is one of their spots. 14 fights. Gumby has picked the five that he enjoys the most. Other than Asplin, anyone else to keep an eye on the prelims? I guess you've already mentioned that, actually.
Colton Sneave. Yeah, Colton Sneave.
How about we call him by his real name, Kelton Sneave, okay?
Is it
Kelton? Put some respect on his name. Yeah, it's with a K. K-E-L-T-O-N. You can call him Conqueror with a K if you'd rather.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to do that either.
Stephen Asplin's pitcher is fantastic on Tapology, too. I know we've talked a lot about him already, but he's got a really, really good pitcher.
Stephen Asplin episode.
Yeah. Even though he's only 2-0 in MMA, he's won our hearts over. All right, what are we starting with here? We're starting with a main card fight, Gumby. I think we are.
Yes. Sloppy heavyweight.
Oh, yes. This one's for Crunch. These two guys look alike, at least according to their Tapology pictures. They look almost the same. It's like Spider-Man meme fight coming up. Alvin, A-L-V-I-N, like Alvin and the Chipmunks. Hines versus Justin Smith. Two U.S. heavyweights who have barely fought. So this will be interesting to see what Gumby has to say about this one. We do not have odds, correct?
Correct.
When do LFA odds usually drop? Midweek?
Sometimes Wednesday, Thursday. It depends on what's going on in the UFC and other regional promotions that week. Sometimes those offshores get a little bit slower when the UFC traffic is coming in anyway. But when the UFC traffic's slow, which it might be for UFC Vegas 90, not to throw complete shade at it. But like today might be a little earlier this week.
You're already throwing shade at UFC Vegas 90s. Allen versus Curtis, part two.
Great.
All right. A couple of great nicknames, too, for these heavyweights. We'll start with Savage Smitty. That would be Smith, if you haven't guessed. 3-0 with two knockouts. This is his LFA debut. 2 years younger than Hines. There's not much I can tell you about these guys. Hopefully Gumby can. Hines Goozy is the nickname. Do you know this, Gumby, or not?
I was waiting for you to say it.
G-O-O-Z-I-E. G-O-O-Z-I-E. If you want to send him a Christmas card, that's how you spell it. 2-0 with two submissions. 1-0 in LFA. What can you possibly tell us about these guys who have fought five times combined?
I've watched them fight, and they're just like the perfect combination of like the sloppy heavyweight over meme that Crunch likes to use. Like this is definitely an over fight for me. If you could find lines on the over 2.5 on sloppy heavyweights, this is it. Fight goes to decision here. But for me, I think this will probably come in right around a pick 'em because, like you said, they look alike. They kind of are alike. The difference for me is Alvin Hines, big overhand rights all the time. I wouldn't say he's a good wrestler. That's not a thing I would say. I would say he's a persistent wrestler. So he just like, he shoots a takedown. It's terrible. He gets back up. He shoots another one. That one might be a little bit better. So like he just keeps going for it. And he's got surprisingly good cardio for a guy who looks like he does. Like he can keep shooting those takedowns seemingly all day. I don't know that Justin Smith has the same cardio, but he looks so much better on the feet, so much more nuanced on the feet. He's got better defensive striking on the feet. He like moves in and out a little bit better on the feet. And I've seen him like stuff takedowns and work clinch work against the cage. And he actually looks pretty fundamental there. So like we're looking at two big guys, both of them a touch on the sloppy side. One of them like a little bit more technical and safe and smart. The other one just like bombing things out there, but with enough cardio to hold up. I'm going to take the slightly more technical. I'll take Smitty over Goozy. That's so good. I'll take the Smitty over Goozy. And I just think Smith's technicality here probably is enough to like win him ugly rounds.
Savage Smitty. That makes it even better, right?
The Savage Smitty over the Goozy.
Yep. Odds for this? Did you say anything?
I said basically pick them, I think. Okay. Like they the records look alike. They physically look alike. Yeah, it's going to be fun as hell.
I was distracted reading reminding myself who was officiating the main event of UFC 300. Herb Dean is the ref.
Perfect.
And then the judges, Derek Cleary, Sal D'Amato, Ron McCarthy. What a murderer's row, eh?
You don't really have to worry about that fight going to decision. So.
What could possibly go wrong? No, you don't. Because what I've been reading, Hill's going to knock him out, Gumby.
Right.
Yep. Because if... Izzy did, then why couldn't Hill, right? That's what right. I stopped. So
right.
That's what we're going with here. All right. Let me tell you about our friends at Cut and our friends at Underdog Fantasy. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower, big, and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on there. Check out the bets that the SGPN crew are posting. Download Cut today in the App Store or over on nutcut.com. That's K-U-T-T. K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN to get for a 10% deposit bonus. And of course, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest play to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Pick the athlete from any sport you like. They pretty much have them all. You pick between 2 and 5 players to build your pick'em entry. You pick higher or lower on whatever stat entry you would like or stat category you would like. Simple as that. If you hit all of them correctly, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. Boom. Sign up today with our promo code MMASGPN. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Okie dokie, we got a next fight on the schedule. No more sloppy heavyweights here. This is down at featherweight. Isaac Thomson, Australia. Shaheen Santana, United States of America. All right. Santana, Shazam is the nickname. 7-3 with 6 submissions. He's been submitted once. This is his LFA debut. He's gone 1-3 over his last 4. Not so hot. Got TKO'd in his last fight. He went 0-1 in Contender Series. Do you remember who he lost to, Gumby? Put you on the spot.
Santana?
Yep.
Santana was on Contender Series? Was he on like one of the first seasons then?
He was on 2020.
Weird. I don't remember.
He got arm triangle choked by someone. From Israel. There, I gave it away.
Oh, Tom Levy?
Yes.
That's from Tom Levy? Yep. This actually explains a lot of how the
there Levy you go. Well, Santana used to fight at light heavyweight, not light heavyweight. My God, lightweight. Let's make it 2 inches taller than Thomson. No P. Thomson. 6-1 with 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 3-1 in LFA. He's won 4 straight fights. He's not lost since December of 2023. he's cramming a lot of fights in over this past year or so. Used to fight at lightweight as well. 11 years younger than Santana. That's huge, especially at a lightweight class. All right. I have a feeling you're picking Thompson by your remarks earlier.
I am. I'm going to say I think he's probably going to be like a 250 favorite here, negative 250 favorite. I think if he does come in that steep, I'm probably off of it because Santana is sharp enough on the feet to have like some things that I wouldn't be concerned about. And Thompson also isn't the type of grappler who's just going to like take Santana to the ground, which I think is really easy to do, which was kind of my remark there about Natan Levy is like he was just like cherry pick for Natan Levy to arm triangle. So like Thompson isn't the kind of guy who's going to do that. He's going to strike with him. But I also think like Thompson's striking style is good enough to handle Santana. Thompson struggles when you force him to back up consistently. But Santana is kind of like a one punch and back away kind of striker. He likes one long punch, or he really likes flashy stuff. You'll see like spinning back kicks and stuff out of him too. Hands really low. So we got like a technical guy with like good footwork, and as long as he's moving forward, does really well versus a guy who likes to throw like one big flashy thing and then back away. And so like he's not going to bring the pressure that's going to give Thompson any trouble. So I like Thompson in this fight. I think his smarter boxing and his better footwork and his ability to put like a full fight together is going to be fine here. And I also think he's just like good enough defensively striking from range that Santana's flashy stuff isn't going to land on him. So I like Thompson, guessing negative 250. If it is, I'd rather it come down a little bit before I'm super interested in it. You know, high 100s or right at negative 200, I'm probably a lot more interested than I would be if he's in the negative twos or up pushing negative 300.
All right, there you go. Not just a winner, but he tells you what range to bet this winner in. All right, we're moving up to middleweight. Wes Schultz, United States versus Adland Benson for the United States as well. 3 5-minute rounds at 185 pounds. Benson, tall boy is the nickname. We got a couple of good nicknames in this fight going against each other. Another great nickname coming up in the next fight as well. A tall boy, Benson, 4-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. So he finished everyone. He himself has never been finished. This is his LFA debut. He's won 2 straight fights, both via TKO or TKO. Used to fight at light heavyweight, 5 inches taller. So he's a tall boy. Then Schultz, 3 inches of reach. Big. 3 inches of reach over Schultz. He's like 6'7", isn't he, or something, Benson?
He's 6'7" at middleweight. And he's like the weirdest looking 6'7", too.
I know we've talked about Wes Schultz before. Party Time is the nickname. That's how I remember. Party Time is 5-1, 1 knockout, 3 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. 3-1 in LFA. He's won 2 straight, both via finish. He was 1-0 as a pro kickboxer. All right, break it down. Tall boy versus Party Time.
So I think Party Time is going to come in here a huge favorite, negative 500. We've talked about Party Time as being like an apt nickname because pretty much everything he does is like, it's heavy in terms of the energy he outputs, and it's risky. Like he's all about like trying to jump on your back with no hooks in and then trying to get the hooks later. And then like falls off the top half the time. He likes spinning stuff. He goes for low percentage stuff on the feet, and he's crazy athletic. So it's sort of gotten away with it. Adland Benson here is going to come in as an underdog. Cause first of all, the 4-2 record doesn't look all that great. And second of all, he's hasn't fought in LFA. So nobody knows who he is. I'm going to go with the underdog here, Adland Benson.
Yeah.
6'7". And I'm going to say this because we're going to talk later about some people who use some tall guy defense and maybe don't do the little things that they ought to do right. Or maybe that's on tomorrow's show. That might be on tomorrow's show. But like, despite being 6'7", he actually defends himself pretty smart. Like he doesn't rely on being 6'7" to defend strikes. He also, if you've watched both of the recent knockouts, and it's kind of hard to get film on Adland Benson too. I had to reach to some of my contacts to get some of that footage, but both of those recent knockouts have come from people trying to reach him and sort of being off balance. And then he just pulls back and hits a pot shot and like puts the guy away. So he's got really good power for a guy who's shaped like Kendall Grove. And you like the Kendall Grove reference. I appreciate that, sure. The slight chuckle. He is really shaped like Kendall Grove though. And so like he's got really good power for a guy who's shaped like that. So I think with Wes Schultz being a guy who sort of he's by design overextends himself all the time and puts himself in bad positions and like tries too hard to get to something. I think between the reach and the power, like, a 4-1 chance, if it is in that range, which I kind of think it's going to be, he's definitely got a better than that chance of winning this fight. Now, I will also say there's a chance here. I haven't seen Adlin Benson's abilities to stuff takedowns. Schultz could come out here and just turn this into a grappling match and rear naked choke him in 30 seconds. So like if that happens, I won't be terribly surprised, but I think he likes being fun to watch so much that he might just box a 6'7" guy, which is so fun.
Party time, right?
That's right.
It would be a party if he did that. All right. What do we got coming up here next? We've got our co-main event is what we got. This is down at bantamweight. Quang Li from Vietnam versus TL Thang. What flag is that? He's from Myanmar. I still don't have the Myanmar flag memorized, I guess. And Thang, that's a good name anyhow. TL Thang is a great name, but he has an even better nickname, the Dragon Leg. How good is that?
The Dragon Leg?
Yes, the Dragon Leg. Isn't that fantastic?
Okay. Oh, that's pretty
good. Come on, you're the nickname guy. You should know these things.
First I didn't know he was the dragon. I only knew about Guzzi.
Yes, he did know about Guzzi. We'll give you that. Oh, we're going to talk about Dragon Leg first. That would be Thang. 6-3 with 2 knockouts. He's been knocked out, submitted once. 1-0 LFA. 3-1 over his last 4. 3-3 in 1 no contest over his last 7. Did lose his last fight. Used to fight at featherweight. 3-2 with 1 no contest in the biggest promotion in the world. 1 championship. Lee Bang is the nickname. 7-0, 1 knockout, 3 submissions. 6-0 in LFA. Won his last fight via TKO. Short and simple for this man.
Yeah, I like Quang Li here, and I think he's probably going to come in negative 300. He seems to be somebody the LFA is very interested on building up. I think TL Thang has got a lot of things to like about him. Like, you know, like he's pretty quick with his hands. He has some pretty decent feints, although I think sometimes he's more interested in feinting than he is actually getting into exchanges with some of these people. But like kind of the problem with Thang is for me is his leg is right there to be kicked almost all the time. And Quang Li loves to rip shots, kicks from all levels. Like he'll rip your leg 4 or 5 times and then kick you to the body just to get your hands down and then kick you in the head instead. His kick game is really solid. And low-key, Quang Li has kind of got really good wrestling. Like I've seen him go to his wrestling game only a couple of times, but when he does, I'm always like, damn, that's way better than I thought it was going to be for a guy who strikes like he does. Like, this is a dude who is a legit UFC prospect. They're putting him in there with a step up from his last fight, but not a big enough step up that I'm, like, really worried about anything that's going to happen to him. So, yeah, I like Quang Li here. Probably going to be negative 300-ish. And, like, you know, maybe still good parlay fuel because I think this guy's going to rip to the body or rip to the legs and take care of TL Thang.
Title shot perhaps if he wins this fight for Lee?
I mean, a bantamweight, kind of tricky in LFA to get a
7-0.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he might just be angling to just get on Contender Series and just skip everything else because, like, he's probably got the resume for it right now without even needing the title shot.
Yep. All right. Before we move on to our main event, Hall of Fame bets, I need to tell you about. You win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark. And join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right, main event time. LFA interim flyweight championship. So, of course, I need to ask, Gumby, why interim?
Eduardo Henrique was the champion. He was supposed to fight Aymar Hernandez in this fight. And had to pull out, I think, injury reasons. So this is for the interim championship. So Aymar still gets his shot, even though Eduardo can't make the fight.
All right, there you go. So we got 5 5-minute rounds at 125 pounds for the interim LFA flyweight championship. Jordan Harris, Aymar Hernandez, a couple of Americans going at it. Hernandez 7-0 with 4 knockouts. This is his LFA debut. He's won 2 straight fights via TKO, and he went 1-0 in Cage Warriors. Harris 4-0, 1 knockout, 1 submission, 2-0 in LFA, 1 via TKO in his last fight, 1-0 as a pro Muay Thai fighter, 2 inches height over Hernandez. Who's losing their 0 on Friday, Gumby?
So first of all, I think Imar Hernandez is going to be a sizable favorite here, like negative 250, negative 260. You'll get like plus 225 on the return for Jordan Harris. And I'm going to close with a dog here because I like, so first of all, he's going to be a dog pretty much only because that record's only 4-0, right? And that obviously is going to prevent a lot of people from being too much in his corner. But for me, the reason I like Jordan Harris in this fight is, although he fights a little bit on the upright side, like he's like a little bit too stiff-legged for me, he does punish anybody who comes into range and does so the wrong way. And actually, he punishes you even if you close range the right way, because he unloads every single time you're close enough to hit. And that's great at flyweight because it's one of those things where, like, if you have the output, it's not like you're going to tire out in this fight. And Imar Hernandez, I think there's a chance he tries to use some of his wrestling here, but again, probably going to get hit on the way in. And then on the striking side of things, he seems to jump into range, but then like go past where he needs to in range. Like he's so interested in closing the distance to strike. He doesn't ever wind up in the right distance for himself to strike. Sometimes I see him, it seems like his arms are flailing and they don't have enough room to actually extend on his punches. And so if he's doing that against a guy who does really good at understanding how far the range is in and how far the range is out, and he, like I said, he punishes you for it. You like put your leg just a little bit too close to his range, it's kicked. You jump in like you're looking for a clinch, he hits you with an elbow on the way in. You know, you're at that mid-range and you faint, but you don't actually throw anything. He digs to the body. Like, Jordan Harris makes sure that you pay when you make little slip-ups. And Imar Hernandez is a guy who I just don't trust not to make those slip-ups in terms of, especially in terms of, like, establishing range and finding the right distance to throw the strikes he likes. So I think Harris has a lot of advantages in those ways. And I think, you know, just, you know, if you're Tapology handicapping this and you see 4-0 and he's in a title fight and it's like sort of short notice, but not short notice, it's enough for people to say like, oh, he should be a big dog. But I really think if you watch the two fight, I think he's got a lot of things that are weaknesses to Imar Hernandez and could wind up being the kryptonite year.
All right. So what number on Harris?
I said probably right around plus 225.
Fantastic. Great way to end the episode. All right. This recap. Harris, hopefully a big dog. Lee Benson, a very big dog. He's also a tall boy. Thompson and Smith, Savage Smitty in the People's Fight of the Night, right?
That's the People's Main Event. It's going to be so good, Goozy and the Savage Smitty.
Exactly. And make sure you get in the Discord. Enjoy it with us in real time. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord or on, well, Twitter. We won't be discussing in real time on Twitter. Maybe we will if something crazy happens. That would be SGP and MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there and on Instagram. Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Who is on it this week? Do we know?
Are we telling the people? Yeah, we're chatting with Chepe Mariscal, who is going to be fighting at that aforementioned UFC Vegas 90 card. And we mentioned him on yesterday's PFL episode, Michael Dufort, who is basically taking Olivier Alban Mercier's spot in the PFL season. He's the new Canadian representative at 155. He's going to be in chatting about his upcoming fight with Mads Brunell.
All right. So make sure you listen to that. Get in my Substack, moneymma.substack.com, enter my free pick'em contest, and make sure you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com for all your sports gambling needs, as well as sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store so you can dress like cool guys, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We're going to be back tomorrow. No rest for the wicked. We got Cage Warriors to cover tomorrow. Until then, Gumby, we'll bid you farewell now.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Jeff Goozy Fox, and we will see you tomorrow.